WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Art Salon, showcasing the arts in every form.
Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm your host tonight, Sheila White, and we are going to have a wonderful conversation with a couple of fabulous choreographers in the Lehigh Valley. And starting off this evening's interview, we'll be talking with Sarah Carlson, who is the artistic director for the Spring Dances Showcase. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Now, listeners, if you're familiar with the name Sarah Carlson, you may be associating her name with her company, DanceLink. She also happens to be an assistant professor at Cedar Crest College. So we're very excited to have this multi-talented and very diverse choreographer here to tell us a little bit about the program and what this program has been able to do this year during a pandemic. So Sarah, before we start anything about the spring dance program itself, can you tell us how Cedar Crest has been moving forward this year with the dance program?
We have been in person all year long, but we have been socially distanced, so we actually have squares taped out on the floor. We have limits on the number of bodies that can be in the studio. We've been spraying down disinfectant on the floors and the bars to keep everyone safe, and lots of hand washing and hand sanitizer. But we have been one of the few things that have continued to go on in person, which, as you can imagine, it can be tricky taking a dance class via Zoom in your kitchen or in your dorm room. And some of that was unavoidable. Last spring, we finished out the semester via Zoom, and a little bit this fall, we had to start off, or actually in January, we started off the spring semester online. But by and large, we have remained in person, which has been wonderful. And thankfully, with very little negative impact on the students in terms of infection or COVID.
I can imagine that students want to be able to continue their work, so they were practicing very safe COVID precautionary measures because they didn't want something that was, you know, I don't want to say completely avoidable, but they had to take personal responsibility to make sure that they kept themselves and their classmates safe. Yes?
Absolutely. Yes. Both showcases of choreography, the DanceWorks student showcase in the fall, and then this one that we're talking about today, Spring Dances in the Spring. Due to COVID, we could not perform them on stage live, but both formats were switched to screen dance. And so COVID has pushed us out of our comfort zone and into a new platform. And I actually think it's opened up possibilities, that some of which will continue to be in play after the pandemic is done.
Can you tell us more about that? I mean, what opportunities has introducing video and filming to the dance program done for your students?
Sure. So screen dance is not a new art form. It has been really building since the 1980s and gaining traction. And there are even screen dance festivals, dance for the camera, etc. However, the dance program at Cedar Crest has remained largely in person. There's just a magic that you can't get via a screen. There's a magic, an energy that bodies communicate across space to one another. And so that's one of the things that's lost by transitioning to the screen. But there are many things that are gained. For example, you can actually take the dancers out into the world and off the stage. So that I made a piece on the modern ensemble called The Skin You're In, and we went into the woods. So being able to witness the movement that was created in the studio out in the woods with the light glistening on their bodies, sometimes feet stepping in water and on grassy moss, it just brought a level of immersiveness that would never have been possible on stage. And so that's one of the things. Another thing is that the linearity of time that is in play in a stage performance isn't necessarily the case with the magic of the editing room. And so you can actually start working and start filming the end of your piece and then film the beginning of it at first and do a whole bunch of interweaving all the way through and create a bit of magic that, again, would never be possible on stage. And close-ups as well, you can get a sense of the movement and a sense of intimacy with the bodies via the camera that you cannot get on stage.
I'm sure a number of our listeners, myself included, as a parent watching my kids on stage, and you're stuck way in the back and there's somebody that's going to have a camera in front of you and you're going to have to be craning your neck around. So perhaps, the screen dance, as you call it, is a really interesting way to experience this body language. And what I'm curious about your piece, The Skin You're In the Forest, is how the body then communicates with the environment around it. So also, the one thing that I'm wondering if our listeners can relate to this as well, when you're watching a dance in person, if you're up close to the stage, you hear them breathing. You don't see them breathing,
right,
but you hear them breathing. And, there's just this smell of the stage lights. All of those little details that will probably be edited out in a screen, but so much brought in. What kind of video artists were you working with? Were you giving them direction? Were they watching the choreography and giving suggestions for camera angles, et cetera?
So most choreographers filmed their dances themselves. We live in an age where everyone is carrying a movie camera in their back pocket with all of these smartphones, right? So I was my own cameraman, my own videographer, my own editor. However, that wasn't the case for all of our choreographers. Sammy Reyes choreographed a hip-hop piece called Nation, and he had a professional videographer working with him. And I do think there was a lot of collaboration back and forth between the cameraman and what they were able to capture, the different angles. I know for sure that the cameraman did walkthrough of the campus and got to know the Cedar Crest College campus. Sammy knew because he actually said, there's like the perfect setting for this one scene. There's a bell that is speaking to an element in your piece right here on campus. And Sammy was like, really? So to that degree, there was definitely a level of collaboration between the videographer and the cameraman. But I think every choreographer managed that differently. And, so some choreographers, this was their first screen dance that they've ever made. So there was a pretty high learning curve. I have been creating screen dances since last spring, since the start of COVID, really. And so this was not my first foray, probably my fourth or fifth, getting a little bit better each time. And I have to say that I am really thrilled with this new world of creativity that's opened up to me. I feel like it's given me so much more freedom to play with things like lighting, with perspective, with angle, with order. That I could definitely see myself continuing down the screen dance vein as we move into the future.
That's a really interesting juxtaposition of different types of approaches to the relationship between a visual, especially that dance is also an oral experience that, choreographers respond to and relate to the music and the environment as well. So what was fascinating about this upcoming program is the variety of styles also coming in. Can you just spend us a couple of seconds talking about the different kinds of pieces that viewers would see in this program?
Sure. So this concert always features an array of genres. We have a ballet piece by Sarah Parker called Rhapsody that she filmed at the SteelStacks site. We've got Jill Fitzgerald, who choreographed a tap piece called Waiting, and that was inspired by issues of food insecurity and climate change. We have To Be a Woman, which was a jazz piece choreographed by Erin Pushkar. But we also have a Bollywood piece called Dance with Abandon by Firuzi Desai. And I should mention that there is a special sub-theme to this version of Spring Dances, which is the subtitle is called We Rise and Fall Together. So every single one of these screen dances was created to unpack an issue of social justice. And so my piece called The Skin You're In investigates racism by examining the arbitrary nature of using skin color as a means of distinguishing societal worth and identity. And I do that by basically linking the idea of skin with the natural world and the bark on the trees and the moss on the logs and the textures that we're surrounded by in nature that we certainly don't even think about evaluating as a type of worth, as better or worse than another thing. But within culture, we have decided this is an arbitrary means of creating privilege and oppression. So, but every one of the pieces was made because art can speak to the world is an expression of what's happening in the world around us. And this year has been so potent and so filled with really big issues, important issues. And so I thought it was really important for our choreographers to make a statement about those. But also in the process, I know for myself, creating art about these issues is therapeutic. It helps us gather our thoughts around the issue and work out our own thinking, work our way through them.
Well, Sarah, we just have a couple of moments left. Can you tell our listeners when and where to tune in to be able to see all of this wonderful work?
Yes. So Spring Dances is going to premiere on YouTube on April 17th. That's a Saturday at 7 p.m. And they can look into getting reservations. It's a free premiere, but you do need a reservation. So you go to cedarcrest.edu/stage is that address. Just make a reservation there and a link will be sent to you ahead of the performance and you'll be able to have a front row seat in front of your computer.
That's unless you have a child sitting in front of you with their head in the way, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Sarah, it was just so good to hear about this wonderful work and the opportunities that your choreographers have taken with, you know, a couple of lemons. And it sounds like you're really making a tall glass lemonade with this wonderful approach.
I hope so. I'm really looking forward to seeing all of these pieces. I haven't even seen them all yet. So it's going to be a really nice treat for everyone and a great culmination for all of our students.
Well, again, thank you, Sarah Carlson, who is the artistic director for the dance showcase, the Spring Edition at Cedar Crest College.
Thank you, Sheila.
Listeners, we're going to take a short break and be right back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Psst. Did you know that your phone is a radio? You can tune in to WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's new phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and we are having a wonderful conversation with two choreographers in the Lehigh Valley who have just been really innovative this year. Even in a time of COVID, they've been still creating these wonderful works of expression. And in the first part of the show, we were gladly talking with Sarah Carlson about the Spring Dance showcases. Now we have an opportunity to talk to Tony Byers Paredes, who is the artistic director, creator, choreographer, mastermind behind this new piece called Factor. Welcome to the show, Tony. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Sheila. It's so great to be here today, and I appreciate that introduction.
Well, just in a little bit of reading that I've been doing about this piece, this looks like it's going to be significant. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about the piece itself, and then we'll get into the background of it?
Yes. Yeah, so Factor is an original production that was just inspired, I think, by my time at Cedar Crest College and my love for my alma mater, and really just wanting to dig into the history of our college when we think about things like race and inclusion and equity and diversity and the stories of some of the women that were there who were women of color who have not been heard and giving voice to them.
Tony, when were you a student at Cedar Crest College?
I graduated in 2012, so 2008 to 2012.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about the experiences of Black women on campus, how was it different than other people's experiences as a student?
It was different in that I would say that I was in a lot of roles on campus, and at times I was used for a lot of diversity opportunities, for a lot of photo ops, but I wasn't seen in the classroom at times. My professors didn't look like me, and sometimes as a result, there were, say, microaggressions or communications that reflected on some of their implicit biases and some of their not completely understanding the differences in our identities, and that it was a women's college and it was very important to uphold that identity as a woman, but there was nothing like looked at in regards to intersectionality. So looking at the other various identities that we would have outside of being a woman and how that might make it different for us to navigate. So yes, I'm a woman, but I'm also a Black woman, and that makes how I interact with society and how I navigate through the world a little bit differently.
And when you're talking about microaggressions, just for our listeners' sake, can you briefly explain what you mean by experiencing a microaggression?
Yes, I've had an experience where I was told that I was very different than other Black people, and that, you know, I didn't speak like a Black person because I speak English properly. I grew up in a military family, and using slang was not acceptable. You know, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And so there are these ideas that there's a certain way of talking or a certain way of looking or a certain way of being. And I realize a lot of people think that there's just this one Black experience, but there isn't. There is a diverse, just like the rest of the world, there are complex identities just within, you know, Black culture as well.
And that I can imagine just manifests over time in ways that an artist wants to be able to express the experience more than just with words. And what is the famous phrase, where words fail, music speaks? And
yeah.
Dance probably
yeah.
shoves it down your throat. So let's talk a little bit about Factor. All right. Why the word Factor?
Because it came from the idea that when I was growing up, you know, in education and things like that, we lived this idea that we didn't see color, right? That they tell us that it's not a factor. But the fact is, it is a factor because you are treated differently and you feel it because of the way that you look, even though, you know, you hear that phrase, we don't see color. And we have come a little bit further in our way of thinking, because by saying you don't see color, you're saying that you don't see what makes me me. And what is something that I can't take off of, you know? The color of my skin, while it shouldn't be such an important focal point in society, I think that, you know, when we think about, like, race, it shouldn't be that important. But unfortunately, certain aspects of society have made it so important. And so the idea of saying that we don't see it or it's not there is erasing a part of somebody's identity that is physically there and does count in society.
It sounds like that this program, Factor, which premieres on April 24th, is somewhat connected to the Spring Dances Showcase at Cedar Crest that's premiering the week prior.
Yeah, so even though we've not worked connected, like interconnected, they are also doing these wonderful social justice performances as well, and just connecting to amplifying voices and telling these stories that are not always heard. And it's a beautiful thing, I think, as we say, to be able to use the art, because, you know, Maya Angelou says, "I know why a caged bird sings." And I always come back to this because of the fact that the reason, like, a caged bird sings is because sometimes people don't listen when you're just talking. And so theater and dance allow people will listen to something like theater. They'll go to see a play, you know, willingly. They'll watch a dance, and you will be mystified that people can take away such a deeper understanding of something like racism or equity and inclusion by watching a theatrical piece or a play versus someone just having a conversation. It creates an easier way for someone to enter what I like to call these courageous conversations without feeling attacked or offended, or if they're going to say the wrong thing, because it's not about them having to personally think about it. It's, well, I watched this play or I watched this dance and I saw this and I was wondering, could we speak a little bit more about that? And I think it creates an easier access point for conversations that are hard, especially in, you know, the year that we've had, people are afraid to talk about politics and racism. It's one of those conversations, you know, that people fear. And I think using theater and using the arts, we open that door for conversations that I think we need to have, you know. It's okay to talk about these things. And I think that when you use theater and the arts, you allow people an easier entry point.
So let's say I'm going to watch this performance on the premiere on the 24th, and I am going to be moved by some of the stories that I see interpreted by this dance experience. We're talking about a very removed way of experiencing it. We're not in sharing a space with the stage and an audience. We're alone on our screens. So how does this the next step happen? How can you envision that happening?
Well, that is such a great question. I can speak specifically for the play. We will be having a 20-minute talk-back session and Q&A to allow the audience on the live stream to be able to ask us questions that we'll be able to answer in real time at the end of the show. But we're also working on, after the show, anybody who is interested, we are going to be holding a larger conversation outside of that. And we're hoping that from the show, we will garner more interest into having these conversations, because having the show as that focal point for the conversation, well, I think will allow people, you know, the opportunity and also the freedom to engage in a more comfortable way. So we'll have the talkbacks the day of the show for like 20 minutes, allowing the audience to ask some questions for us to answer. But we are also planning another event afterwards to have everyone, more people, be able to come together and really sit down and have these conversations.
Is there a place where listeners can subscribe or tune in, or just to keep a sense of following how this conversation might progress over time?
Yes. We'll be sending out a link and more information through the College of the Performing Arts Department shortly about this second session for people to, you know, to sign up for as well.
And is there a specific URL address that one might be able to pick up on if they wanted to seek the information that you're talking about?
Currently, the link is not live yet.
Well, then, if people are tuning in to the performance on the 24th, I'm pretty sure there will be the link in the description on the pages, et cetera, on
Correct.
YouTube. Okay.
They can go to the Cedar Crest College Performing Arts page as well, and all the information about the show is on there. So any new information, like when that link would come up or show up, would be on the Cedar Crest College Performing Arts page.
Well, Tony, I have one other question, and we have, you know, just a few minutes left. But the question that I have is, I heard earlier in one of your descriptions of Factor that it's a play. And does that mean that there's spoken word as well as dance and music? Tell us a little bit more about the ingredients that go into this experience.
Yes. So it is, I am a forensic speech. I did interpretive events. So this piece is kind of a different look at theater. It's not what you would consider a normal theater production, in that it's just a story. There are narrative parts, but there are also poetry that comes out of it. And the way that the performers interact with one another is not typical in how you would see a play. As a lot of the cast will say, it's an experience. There is a story being told, but we come in and out of different scenes. And as we're transitioning, there are different pieces of genre that we see. There's news type of reports. There's poetry productions. And then there's the typical, you know, narrative that you would see in a theater production. There's a dance piece. There is a lot of unity and ensemble pieces about just trying to create this beautiful experience that really amplifies these voices. And it was through looking at the history and news articles that I was able to pull and create everything that came together.
Are you then the main producer of all of the aspects of this, pulling creative ideas together from a team into one creative project?
Yes, so I had written kind of like the base of the script, but then as we look through the history and some of the news articles, but I also worked with Elizabeth Ortiz and went to her class and talked to some of the young ladies from that class and asked them to write pieces that I could use and cut to be a part of the production, because I wanted to be sure that, because I was an alum, I wanted to be sure that I was representing and bringing true voice to the current students and not speaking for them. So So I connected with some of the students. I asked them, what is it like? What is your experience now? And as I bring this story to the close, I want to know, am I speaking for you correctly? And so I, you know, using some of their stories and their experiences and their truths, this is all coming together. So it's beautiful in that it's original, but it's also that some of the cast members have created and put pieces in there where they're speaking from their voices as either a woman of color, as a Black woman, as a biracial woman, and the identities that are true to them.
We are talking with Tony Byers Paredes, who is the director, artistic director, collaborator extraordinaire of a piece that will premiere on YouTube Saturday, April 24th at 7 p.m. The original work is called Factor, and it will cover a lot of storylines of the historical arc of race, inclusion, and equity, experiences that happened as students at Cedar Crest College in Allentown. Tony, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you so much for having me today, Sheila. I appreciate it.
Of course. We're really looking forward to this premiere, and good luck. Listeners, this is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White. Have a great evening.